Good morning. I am honored and privileged to be here with you this morning. As I was listening to the music, as I was singing, I was remembering 20 years ago when I was sitting right where you are, and this place has changed, except the weather. When I left Florida yesterday morning, it was 72 degrees. As we were approaching South Bend and I looked out the window and I saw the blanket snow, I felt depressed. Do you feel my pain? Then I remember, tomorrow I'm supposed to preach about environment. And I slapped my face and I said, press, get a hold of it. Actually, this morning I woke up, I'm staying with a friend over in Niles. I woke up and I looked out the window and it's beautiful. And I suddenly realized that environment is not about what is going on outside, but about what is going on inside. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. If I have a way of just connecting one simple sentence or phrase, the phrase that I would leave with you would be, environment is not about what surrounds you, but about what, about who you are and what is inside of you that makes or breaks the environment. See, what is in you will help you appreciate and discern what is outside of you. So the question I'd like to raise this morning as we share these minutes is, do you know what it means? Do you know what it means to be alive? As you are preparing, getting all this knowledge about theology and God and human nature, do you know for yourself what it means to be alive? Do you know how much alive you are so that you can begin to enjoy your environment? Last week, we had about 35 pastors from the Florida Conference come and spend 2 days with us at the hospital, beginning the journey of embedding the principles of creation health in their church congregations. And the plan is to have 600 small groups this year deployed across the conference as a way of bringing together the message of the everlasting gospel with the awareness of what it means to be healthy and to have creation health. See, my friends, this phrase about health reform that we are hearing so much these days, we had it 150 years ago. It's not the phrase of a new government trying to help the healthcare system, which is broken. It's a message that God has given to His church a long time ago. And today, what I'd like to do is just share one of those principles, not so that you can learn about the methodology of it or just the principle itself, but so that you can reflect within your own heart whether or not you are living creation health as a seminarian. In my first 27 years of life, I was surrounded by a wonderful environment. I had a great set of parents, great church. I grew up with many blessings. I was married to my high school sweetheart. I had two wonderful, beautiful sons. In fact, this morning I took time to go back to Rose Hills Street. That's where we used to live. That's where my kids and I used to play, and that's where I used to pick up the laundry and walk through 2 feet of snow in the winter to do the laundry. And I went there to just remember. And I said, how quickly time passes. But I had a good, wonderful environment. Lots of friends. And then I came to the seminary. The seminary was a wonderful experience until I got to my last quarter. It was summer of 1989, and I was getting ready for some finals, looking forward to the last quarter. It was a quarter system back then. And then suddenly, I had this nagging cough that would not go away. My wife is a nurse, and I tried to hide whatever I was experiencing from her, but it didn't last too long. And one day she saw me on the bathroom, and I was coughing blood. And she opened the door, and she looked at me, and she said, how long have you been like this? And I said, just a couple of days, it'll go away. She said, get ready, I'm taking you to the hospital. Back then, we had a hospital here, Bering General. I don't think it's there anymore. So we went there, and it was a Sunday, and the doctor came back and said, Jay, we have to admit you. And that was the beginning of 2 months of a difficult journey, struggling with my health, which ended up me going to Kalamazoo and spending 1 week there, having my spleen removed. And that was the only way that I could reverse the condition that I was experiencing, which at the time, the spleen was destroying my platelets. It was the immune system using that to attack my body. But during that week that I was there, laying down in the hospital, I believe I woke up. I woke up to the reality that I had had a wonderful environment and that I had not taken the time and the self-awareness to actually enjoy every single day that I had had up to that time. I was preparing myself for ministry. In fact, I had already ministered 5 years prior to coming to the seminary. And it was like a blur, because I was not aware of my environment. That experience, that struggle with my health, brought focus on what was around me. My kids, my wife, my calling to ministry, my relationship with God, the meaning of being alive, the meaning of being aware of life. I want to affirm you, because I understand that there are some principles that you are experiencing as a seminary. One of them is having community with joy, worshiping with joy, and keeping the Sabbath holy, and nurturing community through healing and grace and restoration and renewal. Developing a sense of collegiality and friendship as brothers and sisters in Christ. That is great if you are aware of what that means. So in the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you what I have learned about the gift of environment as a minister of the gospel, as someone who is now inviting people to enter into a relationship with God, not just from his or her head, but also in the heart. Because you and I have already been given the capacity to have connection with environment. There are 5 gifts that you have, that I have, that connects you with that environment. And then I'd like to conclude with a video that shows a little bit of what I'm talking about and a tool that you will be able to use if you want to in your church congregations once you leave seminary. The first gift that God has given you is the gift of sight. Did you know that? Did you know that the fact that you and I are able to see this morning is a gift that makes you alive? Look around you for a moment. What do you see? How long have you been coming to this place without realizing who's sitting next to you? A few weeks ago, I was holding the hand of a lady that was in the process of dying. And as we talked about what was meaningful to her, what life was like, what that process of being at the end of life was like for her family and for her, I asked her, I said, if you could do one more thing before you give your last breath, what would you like to do? What would be meaningful to you? She said, I would love to see one more sunset. When was the last time that you sat and saw a sunset? Of course, not here in this this place. There's no sunshine. But one of these days, you'll leave this place and you'll be able to see the sun again. The sunrise. When was the last time that you walked and you took time to notice a flower and to see the great and the wonderful shape and colors of the flowers? When was the last time that you realized how diverse this world is? See, this is about being creation, being created in the image of God, and being aware that God has given you the sight, the gift of sight, to be able to be alive and to enjoy your surroundings. But it is not your surroundings what will make that happen, but who are you and what's inside of you as you walk through life? The gift of sight. There's a second gift, and that is the gift of sound. The ability to hear wonderful music, as we started 10 minutes before, just enjoying that beautiful, beautiful music with the string ensemble, the piano, the singing. To be aware of what that sounds like, because there are people right now that cannot hear. Did you realize that? That's about environment. When was the last time that you heard the voice of silence? That you just sat there and heard what silence sounds like? How about the birds? How about waterfalls? How about the drop of a single drop of water? How about peaceful music, the falling rain, or the ocean waves, or the voice of God in your heart? Environment, again, is not about what is surrounding me, but how aware I am, how alive I am in that environment that surrounds me, so that I can fulfill and be and live life to the fullest as God created me to live that life. There's a third gift, and that is the gift of touch. When was the last time that you touched and you were aware of the different surfaces that we have in this world? hugging each other, massaging the face of your children or the face of your spouse. Just putting your fingers in his or her face and realizing what that feels like and being aware of it. A word of caution, if you are going to do that with your spouse, give her heads up so that she doesn't faint. But just being aware of what touch feels like. How about the hair in your children? How about the water, how water feels? Have you touched air? Have you been in a place where the wind is blowing and you just raise your hands and you let the wind touch your hands and feel what air feels like? How about the warmth of sunshine? Again, not here. Or even the coldness of Bering Springs. Now that was happening right now. I know the many things that life brings. The point is, are you aware of touch as part of your environment? The fourth gift that God has given you, and I praise God for this one, is taste. Different fruits, vegetables, the taste of water. And if you can imagine with me the taste of your own saliva, that is a gift. Happens many times during the day. How aware are you of that environment? There's a fifth gift, and that is a gift of smell. When was the last time that you counted how many smells you experienced in one day? I have a friend who had an accident a couple of years ago. He fell from a ladder, hit his head, and lost the sense of smell. And every once in a while, you know, we talked about what that means for him, and I cannot imagine what that is like. Used to enjoy popcorn a lot, he said. If I could only smell popcorn again. Environment is not what surrounds you, but who you are and what is in you as you surround the environment. See, on the outside, it could say in the toothpaste, Crest or Aquafresh or whatever, but it is what is inside that will reflect exactly what is there. I can take a toothpaste or a tube, and I can squeeze it. If it says Crest on the outside and what comes out is Preparation H, there's something incongruent with that experience. God has made you to stay a congruent creation with that which surrounds you. And there might be beautiful things that surround you, but if your inside is not connected to your Creator in a way that you are fully aware of what a gift you have today, you're going to miss it. So as I close this talk this morning, I just want to leave you with one invitation in mind. Don't go through your seminary experience and walk then during graduation looking back and saying, what happened here? Resolve to let the beauty of the creation of God be part of your experience today. Let your friendships, let the environment, let your taste, let your sight, let your touch, your smell, sense of smell and taste and sound be part of your experience. because God has created you to live life to the fullest. And you say, well, Jay, what does that have to do with the third angel message and preaching the everlasting gospel? It has everything to do with it. Because the last time I read, when we get to heaven, we're going to be enjoying environment again. If I read what Mrs. White says in her writings about how much present we are going to be in that environment, how much we're going to learn from that environment, might as well start here. Might as well begin here. I'd like to share with you probably 6-7 minutes, the beginning of the clip of what we're using to teach our communities and our churches about these principles of creation health. And then I will close it and wrap it up with a comment. So let's play about 6 or 7 minutes, and then I'll wrap it up.
In the beginning, when God created our world, it was a paradise of colors, fragrances, textures, sounds, and tastes. There was thick grass, exotic plants, towering trees, and flowering blossoms. There were rivers and streams, color-splashed orchards, cold springs, and luscious fruits. It was a tailor-made environment for nurturing the heart, an oasis of renewal. Think about a world without asphalt, steel, or concrete. Awe-inspiring beauty from the stars to the sea. It was perfect. And as it turns out, it was an environment our souls still long for. Even now, the wondrous beauty still awes us. And in these simple moments, when we allow ourselves to appreciate Earth's magnificent wonders, there's a certain part within us that feels it has finally found home. Let's join Dr. Winnie King as she shares some insights about the environments where we work and live and how we can recreate a soothing oasis that renews our soul.
When you close your eyes and drift away to your private sanctuary of peace, calm, and quiet, what do you see? Well, if you're like me and the rest of us who long for a little heaven on earth, I'll bet you're not calling up visions of clutter and clatter, stale air and awful smells. Why? Well, it seems obvious. Inherently, we know the difference between an environment that lifts our spirits and one that pulls us deeper into darker places. Research confirms that our environment either affects us positively or negatively. It affects our feelings, thoughts, mood, and actions. Here's an example that demonstrates the simple impact of a little bit of nature. A study of urban residents, city dwellers, who live in apartment buildings. Those whose buildings were landscaped have stronger feelings of community. They know their neighbors better, socialize more, and feel more secure. Just having a bit of nature outside their home proved to be a coping mechanism for mental fatigue. Trees and greenery ease the grinding stresses of inner city living. A natural environment created stronger feelings of hope for the future and helped residents manage their problems more effectively. They were more satisfied with life overall. Nature has a healing effect on us too. Hospitals have learned that patients who have a view of nature from their windows healed better, faster, and had less pain. Seeing trees through their window rather than buildings and brick walls made a huge difference. Think how you feel after a walk through a beautiful garden or a tree-lined path. Windows are beneficial for learning as well. In a study involving undergraduates, a windowed classroom increased motivation and attention. An abundance of daylight in the classroom dramatically increased test scores. In an American Institute for Research study, sixth graders in California who participated in an outdoor class showed improved science test scores. A nature-based environment reduces discipline and other classroom management problems, and it increases enthusiasm for learning. Nature is a positive aid for students who struggle to pay attention. The greener a child's play area, the less severe are his or her attention deficit symptoms. Nature's positive impact can also be seen in the workplace. The anxiety level of employees who work in a building with plants was lower than employees working in an environment without plants. They showed increased concentration and improved attention to details. If you're feeling pressure at work, take a 10-minute walk among trees or beautiful landscaping. You'll return more alert and refreshed. Here's a study with results that might not surprise you. Participants who watched a video of a drive down a scenic parkway exhibited lower levels of frustration than those who watched a drive through crowded and noisy city streets. Think about that as you wonder why you're feeling all tense as you roll into your parking space. All this research shows us that simply viewing a garden or other forms of nature reduces blood pressure and lowers the pulse. Be good to yourself and enjoy the healing power of nature. Now, in addition to making your world more green, two more key things you should be enjoying are sunshine and fresh air. Sunshine is essential to our well-being. It promotes health, positive thinking, and increases serotonin, an important brain chemical. Reduced levels of serotonin are connected to ADHD, irritability, depression, aggression, anxiety, lack of concentration, chronic pain, restlessness, obsessive-compulsive disorder, chronic fatigue syndrome, to name only a few of many. Sunlight also has a positive and significant impact on an employee's job satisfaction and general well-being. It makes them feel more relaxed, which improves their performance on demanding activities that require intense concentration. Sunlight is our biggest source of vitamin D, which is required for strong bones. In fact, sunlight is so powerful that it's able to convert cholesterol into vitamin D. It also enhances our immune system against invading germs. And as surprising as this might sound, sunshine in moderate amounts actually helps prevent cancer. This linkage appears to be due to vitamin D. Sunlight also affects melatonin, which promotes sound sleep. So take a few minutes in the sun each day and sleep better at night. And get this, sunlight has been shown to kill germs. So open the curtains and pull up the blinds and create a healthier environment. So for a powerful 1-2 punch, make sure to include sunshine and fresh air in your day. But not all air is equal. Fresh air is chemically different than the recirculated air that most of us breathe each day. Fresh air is charged with negative ions. Now that's a good thing. It's this kind of air that offers us enormous benefits. An improved sense of well-being, improved function of our lungs' protective cilia, decreased anxiety because of its tranquilizing and relaxing effect, lower body temperature, lower resting heart rate, improved learning, decreased severity.
There's about another 5-7 minutes in this video, but I wanted you to taste, to see, to hear, to be able to experience how you can bring a health message to a world that is seeking and searching a gospel that is relevant. Does that make sense? And as we do that, I pray that is not something that you only grow to provide for others, but you also integrate for yourself. For you see, 20 years ago, after 27 years of life, I woke up. Are you awake today? Let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for the gift of life, for the creation story that tells us that we are created in your image, with the capacity to worship and to enjoy life and to be connected to our environment every single moment of our lives. And we realize that sin has come and has taken away that sense of awareness, that sense of being present. And this morning, I ask that somehow through your Spirit, if there's someone here that has been sleeping through life, just going through the motions, but not fully aware of what a gift life is, that you wake up that soul and that you bring joy and future into their lives. As we prepare ourselves here to preach the gospel to the world, we realize that part of that gospel is to present relevant relationships that connect to the daily needs that the human race has. So thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that opportunity. In Christ's name I pray and give thanks. Amen.